The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Please hang up and try again.
Grab a slice of the Epic Podcast. Don't stick it in your mouth. Put it in your ear holes now. Ladies and gentlemen, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
And Charles Stenning.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Tuck Palace Studios in Astoria, Queens, this is the Epic Podcast, episode 23. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I am your other host, Charles Stenning.
I'm not getting any audio from Schaefer's mic.
Oh.
I think his mic may have cut out.
Oh, it's actually because he's not here today.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's why we're at my house.
Is that why the chair's empty?
Yes.
Aww. Oh, I guess I just never noticed he wasn't here.
No, you didn't notice, like, all the lack of blood
crying
madness at you? Someone wasn't mad at you the whole time, so...
I just constantly assume that everybody's mad at me all the time for everything.
I am never mad at you for anything ever.
Give it time.
Yeah, that's give true. Our friendship's new.
Yeah, relatively.
Yeah.
Yeah, relatively.
Super new.
It still has that new friendship smell.
It's got like that honeymoon phase still happening. Yes, it does.
Well, man. Folks, we are sans the Schaefer, the Dark Lord, this month because Mr. T. Dark Lord is at San Diego Comic-Con.
Being a baller.
And he's rapping all the raps with all the other rappers who rap nerdy things.
The nerd rappers. For what?
I've seen some pictures. He's hanging out with Mega Ran. He's hanging out with Frontalot and Doc Awkward. And
I love Doc Awkward.
I love Doc Awkward. I would marry Doc Awkward in a second if he would gay marry me. Do you have to be gay to be gay married? Like, is there, like, do they check? Is it like a test? You know what I mean?
What you said was so problematic that I loved it.
I mean, could just two dudes just walk in just because, you know, they just like, they were like hanging out, you know, but they just want the privileges that marriage brings them.
If that were a thing, I'm sure you and Schaefer would find a way.
True.
True.
So how you been, Chad?
I've been excellent. I've been so busy.
Yeah?
Yeah,
let's
running
talk
around.
About it. Let's talk, let's catch ooh, up. Let's ooh. Now that Schaefer's not here, ooh, we can actually talk about the things we want to talk about.
Ooh, we're going to talk about something really great.
Yeah.
But first, we're going to talk about us.
Yes.
Because we're narcissists. Yeah. And that's fun.
Well, before we get, I do want to get some Nerdy Show business out of the way.
Oh, yes.
For those of you who don't know, I am now a column poster on nerdyshow.com.
He's writing articles.
Well, I don't know if you can really call them articles.
We're letting them fly.
I am now a comic book reviewer, one of many comic book reviewers on the Nerdy Show. I might be the only one who actually does it in print. I know that some of the other podcasts review comic books. I think I'm the only one who's doing it in blog post form.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And I think. I don't know. Don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure I'm the only one who's actually writing this stuff out.
And what is the title of your column?
The title of my column is comic books, .. I read them.
It's the best because you're doing that on Facebook all the time. Well, and then I picked it up and C. Muldrow picked it up and...
Well,
What up, C. Muldrow?
I didn't know it was going to be a thing. I just... Like, it was a dumb thing that I started doing because I thought it was stupid to do it.
Also, and screen capping's really fun on your phone.
I know, right? John Hex Carter just kind of messaged me out of the blue and said, hey, you wouldn't be interested in, like, writing out your thoughts on comic books, would you? And I'm like, maybe?
Yeah.
And basically, my rules to him were, like, I can't do full-out, like, long-form reviews. I just can't do it. I don't have the time for it.
Yeah.
And so I told him if he would be okay with like something about the length of a tweet or a simple like Facebook posting, I could do that. And he's like, yeah, do it up. So that's what I've been doing. I've been, as of this recording, this will be my third week posting up reviews. So if you haven't checked it out yet, check it out on nerdyshow.com. Comic books, I read them. And you know what? Feel free to review me. Review the reviewer. How meta is that?
It's not meta. That's just a terrible decision. You remember last month? We got a comment.
No, but we weren't inviting comments that time.
Yeah.
I'm inviting them now. I'm inviting you. If you agree with me, let me know. If you don't agree with me, let me know. Let's have a good debate about it.
You just asked the internet to give you a good debate.
Yeah.
That's
a recipe for disaster.
Never going to happen because you're going to get trolls. I'm really sorry. You're going to get a terrible case of
trolls.
Oh,
no. I'm sorry. I never said I was going to read any of them. I'm sorry. I should have been a bit more specific in my.
If you enjoy masturbating, comment on Nelson's articles about comics. Right. Because that's about as much good as it's going to do.
Right. Right. It'll be cathartic. It'll be cathartic for you. You'll get it off your chest, And
he won't read them.
And I'm not going to read them.
Profitless.
So, yeah. I love it. Everybody wins.
Take that, internet.
Everybody wins. So thank you to Cap and Hex and all those guys for letting me do that.
That's really cool.
And I'm going to keep doing it for as long as my brain holds together, so.
So for another 2 weeks, Lugo will be doing comic books, .. I read them.
Yes.
Got it right, yes. I like that I had to think about it, even though I do that format on my Facebook sometimes.
I know.
I don't know if I put the ellipses on there, though. Do I?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It doesn't matter. Ellipses are irrelevant.
Well.
They're not, but.
Yeah, maybe with that attitude.
So what else you been doing, Lugatron?
Lugatron. I don't know what else. I had a whole bunch of things I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And for the life of me, I'm now blanking. What did you? I know you had some stuff on your mind. What did you want to talk about?
Ooh, I have been running around like a crazy person this past
month. Really?
Do
tell.
Doing lots of Afterbirth Monkey things.
Oh, that's right. A lot of band stuff.
A lot of burlesque things.
Sure.
It's been a very, very busy month to the point.
Do you want to talk about the thing that you just completed?
Ooh, I do actually. So Afterbirth Monkey released their second music video.
Yes.
The first one in collaboration with Hayride Productions. It is the music video of our song, It's Raining Dicks, featuring Schaefer the Dark Lord, who is played in the music video by Schaefer the Puppet.
STP makes an appearance.
He makes quite the cameo in the music
video. Well, I mean, STP is a reclusive fucker.
Yes.
And it's actually very difficult to get him out of his man cave.
It is more difficult to get him out of the man cave than Schaefer, and that's pretty much impossible.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not only impressed that you managed to get STP out, but that you managed to meet all the requirements of his contract and writer.
Yeah.
And managed not to, file a restraining order against his aggressive, shall we say, sexual harassment.
He might have touched my butt a few times. It's fine.
So I'm saying, you're a better man than me, Gunga Din. That's all I'm saying, because I wouldn't put up with it.
It was worth it. The art that we made in the,
the
end.
The art.
I don't want to say puppet Daisy Chain, but I will.
Check the show notes for the link for the new video.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's great. It's got some, if you are a New York fan, you'll see a lot of familiar faces.
Yeah, you will. Also, if you are a fan of dick zombies, you will love it.
Dick zombies.
If this were in like a movie form and I could put like reviews on it, there'd be a little quote from Schaefer the Dark Lord that would just say, "It's really dirty." That's the Schaefer the Dark Lord stamp of approval or disapproval. I don't know which. He just said it's really dirty when he saw it.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's a thing that I did.
I did a show in D.C.
Ooh, yeah.
Called The Chocolate Lounge. It is a burlesque and variety show, and I was hired to come in and do two acts as part of this show. And it's a really lovely show, lovely cast, great people, great audience. And it's the first time in my life I was specifically hired because I'm not white.
Oh, that's rad.
Spoiler alert, internets, I'm not white.
Yeah, Lugo's Hispanic.
Yeah, andale, arriba.
I'd say that's racist, but I guess you're allowed to do
it. I'm allowed, you can't. I'm allowed to say it. Good, you can try and say it. Good, I'll give you permission just one time.
Nope.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Nope.
You can say it.
No.
I'm giving you permission.
I don't need your permission.
It was a great show, and I think a very important show, because I think people of color, specifically in the sort of circus sideshow burlesque arts, is an underrepresented community of people, and so it was wonderful to see Black and Asian American and Middle Eastern and me, Hispanic, like coming together and doing a show that we didn't really talk about the fact that we were of color. We just did a show, and it was just great to be able to just do that in that
awesome
kind of like atmosphere. So, and that's produced by the lovely Gigi Holiday of the Evil League of Aestheseasts out of Washington, D.C.
Everything you said in that sentence was rad. Everything. All the words that were compiled into that, just that felt good. I might listen to that on repeat later.
No, she's great. And a big shout out to those ladies. And please have me back anytime, because I love doing it.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. Like what do you want to do now?
Ooh, I did a very interesting all X-Men burlesque show and rap thing.
Oh, that's right.
Recently at
the
studio at Webster Hall, which is in the basement of Webster Hall.
Adam Warrock was featured.
Adam Warrock was our
headliner.
X-Men. He was our opener and our headliner. It was very fascinating.
Oh, man, I love me some Adam Warrock.
Oh, man, I love me some X-Men burlesque.
Yeah, good show.
It was a great show.
Yeah, big crowd.
Awesome. The crowd was beautiful. Awesome. The VIP section was sold out.
Yeah.
Lots of folks. It was rad. And I got to play in my favorite position in the show.
What's that?
Start of Act Two.
Yeah.
I always love that spot. That's my favorite
spot. That's a choice spot.
That is sweet.
In classic vaudeville terms, the opening spot and the last spot are given to beginner acts or the worst acts, traditionally.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true, because we started off the show with Adam Warrock.
No. In classic vaudeville form. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about like in the 1920s when there was a thing called vaudeville. You would open the show with your act that wasn't particularly good, because it's a rotating show, right? So people can just come in whenever they want and leave whenever they want, right?
Yeah.
And so you don't put your best act first.
No.
Because there's not going to be very many people there.
Right.
Also, when you need to clear the room, you put your worst act on last to get people to leave.
Oh.
It's called the first spot, obviously, is called the cold open.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, the first spot's the cold open.
Yeah.
The last spot is called play into the haircuts. Because when people get up and turn around, you're playing to the back of their head.
That was the trivia fact for the podcast. I'm just not going to do one at the end. I'm still going to do one at the end. Because you can always learn more than one thing a day.
Right.
Also,
not just geekery.
Once a month.
But education.
Education.
Really.
That's what we like to bring.
We are edutainment.
I hate you. I didn't know which way to go with that for a second. I was like, do I love you? Do I hate you?
It's a little bit of both.
I adore your face.
It's a little bit of both, I would imagine. But yeah, I guess in July, happy 4th of July, belated happy 4th
of
July.
Belated 4th of July.
You know, America had a birthday.
America did have a birthday.
America birthday.
Oh, man. I have lost control of this podcast.
You never had control of the podcast.
I did for like a millisecond.
Yeah, probably a millisecond.
Millisecond.
But not by much. I did something really cool on 4th of July.
Yeah.
I went to a thing called the Liberty Bell Extravaganza.
Ooh.
And it's on the roof of the Essex Hotel here in Manhattan. And it's a 1920s themed party.
Ooh.
And so you've got women walking around in flapper dresses, and you've got guys walking around in pristine pleated white pants with bow ties and straw boater hats and vest, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I saw some photos from that. Everybody looked really great.
Yeah. I
looked especially dapper.
Oh, why, thank you.
You were the most dapper.
I am dapper as fuck.
Yes. Most dapper, Nelson Lugo.
It did give me an excuse to finally buy a straw boater hat, which I've wanted for a very long time. And just could not convince myself to put down the significant amount of money for a straw boater hat. But I kind of said, you know what? Treat yourself. So I did.
Treat yourself. Find straw boater hats.
I did. And the guy, the place I usually get my hats from, J.J. Hatters in Midtown, New York. J.J. Hatters, Midtown, New York. And I hope they should probably know that I'm plugging them so I can get money before I plug them. I'm doing this backwards.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I go. That's the one place I go in the city to get my hats, because they're a professional haberdashery, and they know me and they like me. And I walked in, and the guy behind the counter said, "Hey, Nelson, you gonna get that boater today?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And they sold me a boater.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
How was your fourth? Was it drunken debaucherous?
No. I plead the fifth. Thank you very much. I plead it. There's not a plethora of pictures out there proving that my freedom is very free.
Your freedom is exceedingly free.
My freedom is so free.
Your freedom has its own orbiting freedom.
That's true.
I don't know. I actually don't know what that means.
I was trying to visualize what that means.
I had a joke in my head, and it came out different than in my head.
If I was interested in actually cutting this, I would cut that out. But I'm not going to.
We're not going to. One take Charlie. One take Charlie. That's what we're going for here. I think, unless there's anything else, I can't really think of anything else. July was a pretty subdued month for me.
It was crazy busy for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm working on a new show. Ooh. That's really, ultimately, ever since my show opened, I've had a lot of downtime because I'm waiting for the run to start. And the run's going to start in September.
Yeah.
And so between May and September, I have really nothing to do. So I'm just kind of, I started writing a new show, and I'm learning new magic for it, and I'm taking stuff that I couldn't fit into Gathering the Magic and finding a place for it in this show.
Awesome.
And the show that I'm writing now, if you could compare Gathering Magic to a more like hopeful, optimistic, slice of life stories that are cute and quaint and like, you know, give you a little peek into like the lighter side of Nelson Lugo. This new show, it's dark. It deals with more serious topics such as life and death and magic tricks, and it's going to be a more, not necessarily sad, but a more somber tone, the word I want to use is mature, but that's not it. It's not that Gather Magic isn't a mature show. It's just that this is dealing with subject matter that might be triggering, be a bit more uncomfortable to hear in a theater setting, you know, and it's going to deal with subject matter that's a bit more serious than, like, you know, hey, that first time I did my very first magic trick. It's going to deal with stuff that's on my mind, you know, and as I get older and as I deal, you know, because my issues with cancer and deal with my own mortality and things like that and stuff. So look out for that shenanigan show in 2015,
guys.
Oh god, 2015 is the year of tears. That's basically what I've dubbed it.
2014 wasn't the year of tears.
No, well, the 2014 is more like the lonely sort of like self cuddles.
Lonely Self Cuddles is the name of my next Afterbirth Monkey album. That's not true. Afterbirth Monkey has titled their next album. I'm very excited. It will be coming so very soon.
Oh, when are you going to be able to announce stuff?
Not today.
No, I know not today, obviously.
Soon, though.
All right.
We have, like, a couple last things to record.
Ever since Schaefer dropped his album, I couldn't bug him about when his album's being released. So now I'm going to bug you.
Well,
so how's that album coming along?
I'm working on it.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did. Excellent. Do we want to go to emails before we get into our topic?
Yes, let us do that.
We have gotten some emails from you. Thank you so much for writing
in,
by the way.
Thank you for emails. They're fun.
Let's see. I mean, you know what? I'm just going to pull it up here since I already have it. Epic Podcast. Here we go. You know what? I'm going to start from the newest and work back.
Cool.
How's
I
that?
Like that.
Here we go. This comes from The White Boom Boom.
The White Boom Boom.
The White Boom Boom.
I think I met him at a Kitty Nights the other
probably,
night.
Probably. Yeah, you probably did, actually. Yeah. And he wants to know, or rather he suggests, please go back to torturing the hosts, please.
Two pleases. Thank you, The White Boom Boom.
Thank you, White Boom Boom. You can go to hell.
Did you know that the word taser actually comes from Thomas A. Swift's electric rifle?
Are you kidding me?
I read that.
Did you just make that up?
Nope.
Wow, look at that.
Found that.
Learn something new every single day.
I'm full of useless trivia.
Who else do we have here? We have S.J. Harrison.
S.J. Harrison.
S.J. Harrison, and he writes, listening to the May episode, good gravy. Listening to the May episode and the interview with Adam, I heard what two of your doctors were. So I got a couple of questions while we're waiting for season 8 to start August. By the way, I'm so excited for season 8 to fucking start.
I got all caught up. I'm so delighted.
Schaefer, this is directed at Schaefer. Schaefer, who is your doctor and why? I can answer this, actually, Schaefer.
Do you want to have a Schaefer answer this?
Yeah, and in fact, I'm gonna do my best Schaefer impersonation.
First.
You ready? You ready for this?
I'm ready.
I've never watched a Doctor Who episode, ever. There you go. See?
Awesome. Here's mine. I hate time travel.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
I personally
the rage lives right behind the teeth, I think.
No, I felt it.
Yeah.
I felt it. It vibrated my eyebrows.
Yeah.
Actually think, despite his hatred for time travel as a MacGuffin,
mm-hmm.
I think he would actually enjoy
Doctor Who. Would love Doctor Who.
Because Doctor Who actually has all the elements he likes in sci-fi. Mm-hmm. It's got monsters, it's got adventure, it's got romance, it's got dramatic tension, mm-hmm. it's got comedy.
Yeah.
It's got everything he loves in a sci-fi show.
Intellect and romance over brute force and cynicism.
Yeah. But there, you know, I understand his reasons for not doing it.
Yeah. There's
but,
a lot.
You know,
it's very similar to the reasons I know Batman. There's just so much.
Yeah, Schaefer doesn't hate Doctor Who.
No.
He just doesn't want to partake in it.
It's fine.
Yeah. Let's see. For everyone.
Oh, that's us.
That would be you and me.
Oh. For everyone.
Who
for the proletariat.
Yes.
On the podcast.
Who is your favorite companion and why?
Oh, please, Lugo. You go first. I have to think about this.
I would have to say probably my favorite companion for the Doctor was K-9.
K-9.
Yeah. My favorite companion was K-9.
Aww.
I so desperately wanted a robotic talking dog growing up who could shoot lasers out of his nose. And, like, he was a walking, talking tricorder. He could do everything. He could analyze things. He could map things. You know, he could translate languages. And he could shoot lasers.
I know you started that statement with, my favorite companion for the Doctor, but you really meant for you.
Well, I mean, the Doctor is merely an extension of who we really want to be.
We all want to be time-traveling aliens?
Yeah.
I am so glad I'm not alone in that wish.
Yes, we...
I am so pleased. I felt so strange about that for so very long.
No, you and everybody else. Everybody who watches Doctor Who anyway.
Yeah.
So who's your favorite companion?
Actually, it has shifted.
Oh.
For me.
Who was it and who is it now?
It was Donna.
Donna's good.
I love
me some Donna.
So Donna very Noble. Much. Oh. Donna Noble. She was. She and Ten were just. They were the best buddy cop movie I've ever seen. Ever. Yes, just yes, genius.
Yes. They took out the sexual tension and they just made it a buddy cop episodic, and it was wonderful.
It was beautiful and brilliant, and her farewell was the saddest.
Absolutely.
Of all of them.
I mean, Rose's exit from the show kind of killed me.
Yeah.
But Donna
saw
the most important woman in existence.
Yep. But now it's become Clara in the new.
I love Clara so much.
And I want to say it's not to do with the fact that she is a magical, essentially regenerating woman who was a barmaid and a nanny, because I totally relate to being a barmaid and a nanny with dark hair.
Here's the thing. There's no wrong answer.
It's true.
You identify and latch onto the things you're going to identify and latch on.
Yeah.
I latched onto a robotic dog. You know what I mean? That is just as valid as you latching on to Clara.
Yeah.
You know, and I love.
Also, I really, really enjoyed her storyline in this season.
Absolutely.
She's pretty epic.
Whereas the other companions, at least in the modern reboot, right, mm-hmm. with Nine, all the companions were very much, well, not all, except for Donna,
yeah.
all of them were very much in love with the Doctor,
mm-hmm.
but kept it very subtle, kept it very internal. Clara's the first one to, like, flat out just fucking flirt. You know what I mean? Like,
she's
aggressive.
I love it.
I mean, there's also, like, there's River Song.
Yeah.
But that's a completely different thing. She was never a companion. Mm-hmm. She was part of the overarching plot of several seasons. And so, you know, she came in and out according to her story. But Clara just flat out was like, no, you're handsome. I want to put things in and around you.
I want to put my face on your face. Lots. I also totally don't identify with that.
True. Let's see, what else is here? He says, for him, it's pretty simple, Matt Smith and Catherine Tate as Donna for the same reason.
Oh, cool.
You know, they are both the most fun Doctor and companion, and both can kick butt while looking cute and goofball.
Aw.
Yeah, I'll give him that.
Yeah.
I'll give him that.
I like goofballs.
I like cute.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And we already established who our favorite Doctors were previously, but we can say it again.
Oh, Tom Baker, number four.
Tom Baker, yeah.
Tom Baker, that's my Doctor.
I know. Mine is Eccleston.
So yeah, number nine.
My first Doctor just wanted to blow things up.
Yeah, my Tom Baker was the Doctor who was kind of like, maybe he had a multiple personality disorder, because one moment he'd be cheering you on, and the very next second call you a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Awesome. I'm pretty sure Tom Baker is the human who is actually the Doctor.
Yes. He is actually the Doctor. If you ever go back and watch interviews with Tom Baker about the Doctor, he will even admit that I am the Doctor. I didn't play a role. I just was Doctor. Because he's a crazy person.
And that's why we love him.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's see. We have an email here from Jay. How do you say that? Machet? Machet?
Machett. Pronounce it how you will, internet.
I'm going to call it Machet.
Ooh, fancy.
Jay Machet. Hey, Jay Machet. Jay Machet says he loves the show, and here's a recipe. He gives us a recipe for biscuits.
I know. I wanted to make those biscuits.
You know what? We're going to make these biscuits, and then we're going to review them. For the next podcast.
All right.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this recipe and I'm going to put it in the show notes.
Good idea.
So that everybody can try them out, and then everybody will know what the fuck we're talking about
and
when
so
we review them.
The last Thursday of August, we all can eat biscuits together.
Oh, isn't that great?
Oh, we're breaking bread together.
Nerdy bread.
Would that be manna?
I guess. Let's see. What else? What else do we have here? Here we go. We have, we're just going to call,
M. Stormageddon
writes in, question for the host. What's the one thing each of you, no.
What, it, here, hold I'm on. Gonna, here
you,
I'm going to do this.
You read it. I've been drinking.
What's the one thing about each of you that your listeners might not know?
Oh. Well, let's see. I don't know. I'm pretty open on the social media and stuff.
My real name. And you'll never know, internet.
What?
I mean, you could probably find out.
You could probably find out. My middle name. And you'll also never know it.
I know it.
Well, you have to. You're like my bestie.
Yeah.
Like, the bestie criteria is you have to know my middle name, my birth date, my favorite color, and my favorite flower.
I don't know your favorite flower.
Get out!
I live here.
Oh, fair enough. Let's see. What else do we have? Should we do this one?
No, we did that one.
Yeah, we did that one. All right. I guess that's it for emails.
Ta-da!
We are all caught up on emails.
Email. Send us more emails.
Please do.
We actually read those.
Speaking of Doctor Who, the season 8 premiere is coming up August 23rd. Fandom Events is doing a movie theater screening of the premiere episode.
Okay.
They're doing it in several theaters across the city.
Oh.
As of the recording, the tickets are not available yet. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking, you and me, we go watch it. And then we field report it.
Yes.
Sans Shafa.
Schaefer, would that be okay with you? Your yes, silence means yes.
Yes, it would. It totally would. Go ahead and do it. I love Doctor Who. Oh, thank you, Schaefer. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that.
Right, yeah. I mean, we don't need your consent, but it's awfully magnanimous of you.
Now I miss Schaefer a little. Aww. I looked at the empty chair we have set up.
It's a little disturbing that you actually have an empty chair for him. It's kind of weird.
I also think it's disturbing that it's green.
Why?
Because green's his favorite color.
Green's not his favorite. Oh, I know it is one of his favorite colors.
It's one of his favorite colors.
Yes, yes. No, you're right.
I'll put my purple bandana on it, and then it'll be like he's actually here.
Are you doing some kind of like Wiccan, like voodoo thing over there? What is...
No, I just miss Schaefer, that's all.
Oh. I guess that's the thing. I guess that's possible to miss Schaefer. I guess.
Listen, just because your reality's different than mine.
No, I'm not begrudging you. I just, you know, like, I see him, like, once a month, and, like, I'm good. Like, I've, like, the tank's been topped off, and I'm good for, like, another 30 days. And then I see him, like, whoop, tank's topped off. See you in 30.
Nelson and Schaefer's friendship is like a video game. Mostly it's like Legend of Zelda. Schaefer's affection is one of the jars of the red potion.
Look at you, goofy girl. You're so proud of yourself right now, aren't you?
I'm grinning so wide, internet. I wish you could see it. I'm also swaying a little with like swagger.
All right, so I guess that's it for the catch-up. I can't think of anything else unless you have something to share.
No, I got nothing. That's it.
All right, you want to take a break?
I would love to take a break. Internets, we're going to take a quick break and be back with our guest.
Since 1959, the West End of Kingston, Jamaica has throbbed with unmusical beats. A hypnotic sound of surging excitement and power. People hearing it became caught up in a frenzy. I couldn't help moving to this pulsating, almost religious beat.
No need to feel no shame. His story is to blame. You say you never came. You think your lady parts are lame. The clitoris is the only human organ designed purely for your pleasure. 4 inches of clit inside your body, a tiny penis that you can measure. The clitoris is so special and unique. 20,000 nerve endings, it's my place to be. But it's real close by, and it's like a tiny buzzer. Ring your bell a bit, and soon you will discover that God wants you to come. God wants you to come. God wants you to come. Thanks, gang, diddle your fiddle. It's the grand old Opry. Pick your lima bean, roll your bunt. Make your flower grow. Grab that gift, untie that bow, because God wants you to come. God wants you to come. God wants you to come. I bet God wants you to come.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back from the break, and we are pleased as punch to welcome our guest. She is a musician, a comedian, and an Andy Kaufman finalist. Also an all-around badass lady cake.
Have a piece of this lady cake.
Lady cake. I'm not taking it back. Miss Killy Mockstar Dwyer.
Yay!
Yay! Welcome to the podcast!
Killy Mockstar!
Killy Mockstar!
I want to say we've actually known each other for quite some time.
Yes.
We've shared the same venues. We've kind of walked around in the same scene.
Been in the same bathrooms.
Sure, peed in the same bathrooms. But not at the same time. Oddly enough.
There's still time left.
Why not, guys?
I'm not discounting it.
Look, there's only one bathroom in my apartment. I mean, in Chuck Palace Studios.
So I just want to say this is really lovely. Like, we never really get a chance to sit down and chat and talk shop and stuff. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
I don't know why I'm whispering.
You don't need to whisper.
Oh, my God, stop it. Oh my gosh, yes.
There isn't a studio audience here to be humble for.
I know. But I do feel like we are facing a rather large pink couch, which I feel. That's true. At least it's talking to me.
Yeah. Well, it is.
Is that I did eat those pot cookies before I came.
It is if you say so.
It always talks to me. It just goes, "What is good morning, Chuck? You should probably have some coffee.
Come over here and sit down for a minute."
Yeah, I don't know. It's so inviting and pink.
It is.
Well, and this interview derailed pretty quickly.
I just want to just like lay on it now and just go sleepy towns because it's hot outside.
It is so true. Hot. It is balls hot.
Yes, we have shared many. She had shared many a good time.
Yeah. I've been a fan of yours for quite some time.
Oh, I've been a bigger fan of yours.
Uh-oh. That's not true. Mm-hmm. You're a lying sack of hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say, welcome. What's that?
I don't know. I just thought of something. I watched, did you see Magic Camp?
Not yet. It's on my Netflix queue.
I just watched it.
And?
Sort of an honor of you. I kind of liked it. I got to say kind of liked it. Which is neither I liked it or I didn't like it.
I've heard enough of it from people who are magicians who like to complain about everything.
Yeah, of course.
And there are some people who like it and some people who hate it. Mm-hmm. And then people who like it for the same reason people hate it. And then the people who hate it for the same reason people like it.
I feel that you just need to judge it for yourself.
It is on my queue. It's definitely on my queue. Yeah. And the little that I know about it intrigues me.
Yeah.
And so, we will, you can spoil it for me if you want to. You can't spoil a documentary.
It's what it says it is. It's Magic Camp.
Is it like Jesus Camp? Is it as terrifying as Jesus Camp?
It's similar. There is a really hardcore Christian kid in it.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and he compares Christianity to magic and how Jesus was basically magic.
I'm watching that documentary tonight.
It was really.
That's what I'm gonna do.
He was, he's something. That kid. Oh, they're all adorable.
Tangent. So that's a pro tip from Killy Mockstar Dwyer. Watch Magic Camp on Netflix right now. Yes. Find the link in the show notes.
You have to remind me of that one. I'm gonna forget.
It'll be in the show notes.
We'll.
I have to make the show notes.
Oh, boom.
I'll make the show notes.
I'm going to make the show notes.
Are we fighting about the podcast on the podcast? Is that what we're doing?
Yes. No, we're not.
Moving right along.
Moving on.
So, Miss Dwyer, you are a...
Thank you. We love you.
You are a musician.
Yes.
Comedian.
Yes.
A comedic musician.
Yes.
Mind-blowingly, incredibly brilliant.
Oh, well, that would be... I think that's kind of a stretch. I've only seen
Killy a couple times in this scene.
I have to say, I've been around a lot of scenes. I've seen a lot of scenes.
Sure. Right.
I have. And, you know, at this point... And I do a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I like a lot. Like you're similar. You have a lot of things that you kind of do. A lot of pots on the stove. A lot of boy balls. Yes. A lot of balls. A
lot of balls.
Way a lot of girl balls happening over so many here. Balls. And I have to say, I can't really choose. You know, everyone's like, well, what's your favorite? What do you really like to do? I'm like, I really like to do all of them. Really, I guess at the heart of it, I'm like an actress that acts like I do all the rest of it. And then, you know, that way I don't have to, like, totally narrow it down at any, you know, I just, you know, my mom says that's why I never made it. Oh. You guys. She said, why can't you be specific about anything in your life? Why? And I'm like, because I don't want to, I just like to, I get too bored.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get bored with doing one thing all the time. Like, I want to write a song, and then I want to do a weird performance art piece, and then I want to do comedy, and then I want to, you know.
I think the quintessential moment of you, at least my experience of you, is you and I we were both filler acts for what's his name, he wrote a book about vaudeville, what's his name,
who are we talking about?
I'm gonna look up for him on the internet. But basically,
the internet is screaming at us.
I know
right
the internet
now.
Is screaming at us right now. But you and I, we were a filler act in his vaudeville show. And I did some water.
Jeez.
Go ahead. I did a magic act in a Starfleet admiral's uniform. And you came out in a bright pink tutu with a green tank top. Aww. And you were in a very surly mood. And you...
That surprises me. I'm always in a great mood.
The plan was that you were going to sing a song. Uh-huh. And then you got like maybe 16 bars out. You kind of
Trav SD.
That's it.
I'm sorry.
Trav SD. Thank you. Trav SD. He wrote a book. Show notes.
Yes.
And this was in the Fringe in New York City. And you sang about 16 songs. And you kind of said, fuck it. Without actually saying fuck it, and you actually made the audience sing the song for you.
Did I?
Yes, and
that
I think
sounds like something I would do.
It's kind of, and that's kind of for me like the perfect definition of my experience of you as a performer.
I make
like,
the audience do all the work.
there's a couple of different layers here. Like you've come, like obviously you've got the chops. You've come to the table with time and talent underneath all of that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then. But you're unafraid of just risking it all on a dumb idea that could blow up in your face.
You guys, I've had so many things blow up. I could tell you some horror stories.
Yeah?
Because
yeah.
You know,
Lay it on me.
I got one.
Okay, give me the one.
I hate this. But it,
because you are, I mean, on top of everything else, I mean, you're an improv artist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you improv music as well?
I do.
Okay.
But I don't go like a lot of people who compare me to Reggie Watts. Which
it's
is like
you
a
have
little
that,
bit.
That,
I
like,
love Reggie.
What? I love Reggie, but
what
like
is it
the comparison.
The drum box?
The beatbox and the looping and everything.
Yeah.
Which is like, I would never compare myself to Reggie, but he was an inspiration for me, definitely. We met in Edinburgh like eight years ago and became really fast friends. And of course, you know, I was incredibly inspired by him. But I met Jessica Delfino then, or maybe it was like nine.
Wow.
She's so
Yeah, Jay Dells. And a bunch of Trachtenbergs were there.
Oh, wow.
And so like I was doing this really straight play and it was like, you know, kind of not the best play in the world. But every night I would go to the green room, which is where they were.
Yeah.
And I was just like soaking it in. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I never knew like this was an option and I can just... I'll just start doing my own stuff. That's kind of where I was going. So anyway, coming back around to like the really, like, so I do a lot of risky stuff and sometimes I'm just like, you know, because things can fall apart so quickly, especially with technology. I use a lot of technology, really, if it's not going well, it's usually going really poorly. Like, it can't just go mid-range.
Right, there's no halfway
point. Can't go all right. It's either great or it's just a crash and burn failure. Which I really kind of enjoy a little bit. I've come to enjoy failure because I kind of really good at failing. I've kind of become like fun. I think failing can be fun.
That's actually a very important lesson for any artist in any field.
Yeah.
You have to love the failures just as much as the successes.
Yeah.
You have to.
The first sting, though, that first horrifying moment, though, is it is just the burning. But if you can, like, sit there with that for a second and just be like, this is going to be awful, man. And, you know, and then just go with it. It's very freeing, actually. And so this reminds me, okay, so this was the first time I had been at Creek in the Cave, which is not far away from here. And I'd been there a couple times. I'd done a couple great shows, and I felt really confident. But it never was like there, you know, everyone always kind of just understood that, you know, of course I do whatever I do. And they had me on their show and I'd always have a couple beers or a drink. You know, it was like very laid back and I never felt a lot of pressure there because I wasn't a comedian really. And I was sort of the midsection of the comedy show that, you know, I was the filler, you know, the weird, strange person that came in and did music or whatever. So I got a call from Rebecca Tarrant, who is the owner, and she's a fantastic, amazing woman who's doing great things for, you know, helping a lot of comedians out. And she wanted me to come and do a set. And I had an earlier show at Sidewalk Cafe. Had killed it. Boom, 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 boom. Jefferson Bear. I think, you know, maybe, I don't know if you guys know Jefferson.
Name.
If you don't, you should. So did Jefferson show, and then I shot over up over yonder to Queens, and and I kind of walked in and, you know, I had a couple drinks. I was like, I'm feeling good. I had a great show. I'm like, I'm just going to come in there and do a great set. pointing fingers at people like, yeah, look at me. I set up all my music. I was like, this is going to be sounding good. The technician had worked with me before, so he all knew that, like, I was a problem and how to fix all my problems. And so I was feeling confident. And then my friend, Tim Warner, came up to me and he said, oh, you know, this is like a, you know, audition basically for South by Southwest. I don't know, it's really great that you're here. Good for you. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? I wondered, because comedians were coming up and doing tight fives, man. They were doing the tightest fives, like the kind where it's just five fingers up your butt.
Yeah,
so tight,
like
meandering,
no, just right
I
to
mean,
the
laugh
line.
To laugh to laugh to laugh. And I was like, gosh, these guys are amazing. This is awesome. So I like, it just dawns on me, and of course I'm like a little bit tipsy, maybe a little bit mid to kind of a lot tipsy. I'm like, I'm feeling like, holy crap, like, am I about to blow? And first of all, I was like kind of pissed at Tim too for telling me, like, he's like, oh, you up next? Oh, by the way, this is an audition for South by Southwest, so good luck with that. And I was like, ah! I can say fuck, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can fuck!
Say fuck all you want.
Fuck, shit,
so I'm like trying to get it back together and I'm drinking some water and I'm like, oh, I thought I was just going to go up there and wing it. So I go up. The host brings me up. I do this really weird, oh God, disjointed. It's like I'd never been on a stage before. Kind of like awful introduction of myself. And like I was trying to fit all these jokes in real fast like everyone else had been. And they were all just like crass failing. And everyone's just sort of, I can feel them all being like, oh dear. And then I launch in, it was hard. And then I launch into Ben Kingsley, which is a strong song for me. It is like, I'm going to do this song and it's going to be amazing. And it can rarely go wrong. Only me. Only me. So I started. They're laughing. I got him back on board. Everything is rocking out. I go to grab my tambourine, and I have a very elaborate technical setup. My foot is twisted around in the cord, and so I go to grab the tambourine, and the entire thing falls, crashes to the floor, and just like everything tumbles everywhere. The system is like, whee! My stuff flies, my microphone flies off, like silence. Oh. And just I'm looking at the faces of the people in the audience, and they're all comedians. I mean, you know, they all understand what it's like to crash and burn, but they're all usually have another joke just lined up there, so in case that happens, they got something to back it up. But I'm just, like, trying to pick up my equipment and be like, it's okay. It's okay, you know, like, I'm trying to reassure them that I'm going to be okay. Like, this is not going to be, like, the final moment of my career. And that even though it is devastating, and they are all devastated by what's happened to me, so anyway, I finish Ben Kingsley, and they're all, like, cool. And I'm sort of, like, during Ben Kingsley, I'm, like, subtly, I'm, like, in front of everyone trying to pick everything up. Ben Kingsley, put the microphone back in the stand. Ben Kingsley, put the technical equipment back in. Plug it in. Okay, we got that fixed. Ben Kingsley. Okay, so I think the thing's all fixed, right? So I start pushing the buttons for my next song, which is God Wants You to Come. And it's very, very, it's all looped stuff. So nothing. There's zero. Oh, no, I turned you gay. That's what I'm doing. The audience again. The host comes up. Like, he's like, well, that was Kelly. And I was like, I'm not done. And he's like, and he backs slowly down back through the audience. My God. And it's just horror. It's horror, I tell you. So I start the left side of the audience, and I'm like, you guys are the train. You're like, chugga, 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 ooh, ooh. And they're all, they're scared to death. I'm like, please, please just do this for me. And so they're like, chugga, 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 ooh, ooh. And I'm like, you guys are, you know, and I have them both doing parts on both sides of the room, and I do the song, and I'm just like, gonna get through it, and that's the way it's gonna be. And this is the most awkward thing that anyone's ever experienced, and everyone in the room is feeling the tension, and it's crazy. And then I left the stage, got super shit-faced, wasted, and Rebecca came up to me afterwards, and she said, wow, she's like, I haven't seen a train wreck set like that since Reggie Watts did a train wreck set like that. And I was like, I think that's a compliment. Thank you, Rebecca. And I continued to do like 8,000 shots. But that was probably one of the worst things. But many of those things have happened. I can't tell you guys because I have so many things that can go wrong.
Absolutely.
And you got to be able to work with that. You got to be like, hey.
I think anybody who's been on stage for as long as you have or as long as I have has to you have to go through those moments of just complete
terror,
uncontrolled horror.
Yeah.
Where everything is out of your control.
Yep.
Everything is going wrong.
You have to.
I had a set once. I was invited. This was many, many moons ago. Like, this is like maybe 99? A long time ago.
Many moons.
I was invited to do like a cabaret show at the theater that's underneath the West Bank Cafe, the
Elaine Stritch?
No, I'll get the name of it. But there's an underground cabaret theater underneath the West Bank Cafe, which is on 42nd Street and 8th Avenue. And it was basically a bunch of magicians, and it was supposed to be the newcomers, right? Like, you know, the hot shit magicians,
the up
right?
and coming, yeah.
You know, and I was there, and this guy named Eric Walden was there, and this woman named Maritza Zerbino. Like, basically, like, the people who are going to be regarded as being, like, the next generation of magicians, right?
Sure.
And everybody who's anybody is in the audience from, like, you know, magic notables and fans and devotees and magic press, and that's a fucking dumb word. There's no such thing as magic press.
I think there is.
I write for Magic Magazine. Good for you, buddy. You and 1,000 people care.
You, 1,000 people really care.
You
and
a small town in Iowa. That's your readership.
Hey,
And I went up there and I was like, you know what? For this, I'm going to do a brand new act.
Yeah.
It's going to be a brand new act. It's going to be great. It's going to be stand up. It's going to be this. Come up. And I'm doing my pattern. There's this whole big setup. And I'm like, And the trick fucks up in the first. It's a multi-phase routine. It's a multi-phase trick, right? So there's like six phases, like boom, boom. And each one of these phases has to go off on a hitch.
Right.
Or else the entire thing is fucked. I fuck up the first phase.
So it's
there is nothing I can do to save it. It just gets worse. And in my brain, it's locked into performance mode. Like, I'm just going to do this.
Right.
I don't. And without putting two and two together, like, there's no way for me to do this. Like, the logical side of my brain said, didn't stop and go, no, Nelson, you're done.
You have to do.
You have to walk off the stage now. You have to say goodnight.
Yeah.
And no, but the other side of my brain is like, no, we'll force it. We're just going to make it work by sheer will and determination. And I get the first phase fucks up. Hey, don't worry. Ha! Second phase. And I'm doing, there's six phases. And I'm one right after the other. And the guy who went on before me, killed. Of course he killed.
Of course.
He killed. Had the crowd eating out of his hand. I walk up. That audience hated magic by the time I left the stage.
Oh, no.
And then the guy who's going to be up next, I have to pass him to get past the stage. He looks at me and goes, thanks and fuck you. And that was the topper. That was the topper to the whole thing. He's like, he looked at me and went, thank you and fuck you.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, he should know that he can win the room back if he's good enough. And
also they just, nice. They're just really
no,
glad
he was
that...
not. He was not a nice person.
Yeah.
I want to know who that is.
I will tell you names when the podcast is
over. Yeah, right, exactly.
You know, I feel like you just didn't pack enough pixie dust
yeah.
for that.
I don't think you understand how stage magic works.
Oh.
I don't want to burst your bubble.
You're a fairy.
And listeners, spoiler alert.
Magic.
There's no such thing as magic.
Oh, jeez. Come on, man.
Boom!
I came all the way to Queens, and this is what I learned! Well, I don't want to go on anymore.
The third fact of the podcast.
Oh, God. This is very
stage magic.
Wow, that was a bit of a downer. Holy crap.
You know what, though? These stories, though,
yeah,
I'm telling you, this is the stuff giving
me weird
book
hope.
About eventually.
Well, but yeah, it's sort of like, this is
you
important.
You don't write a book about the happy moments.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, the happy moments are important. And you have to treasure... Because
you pray and
you
next
have,
one will be happy.
Right, and you have to treasure them. You have to lock them because you're going to need them during the dry spells.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but you need to also love the dry spell.
Yeah.
You need to love the failures because those are the moments where... those are the moments where the tourists go home.
Yeah.
That's the moment where the looky-loos give up.
Yeah.
That's the moment where
where
the people who are not serious about it, people who are just the hobbyists,
right.
will go, oh, well, you know, that was fun while it lasted.
Yeah, but I can't take another kick in the balls like that. You know,
right,
like,
exactly.
You know, but it's funny, and I'm sure you've thought this before. I mean, I've had a couple of those moments where I don't know if I could ever, that was just, but those were farther in the beginning. I mean, those were more in the beginning. Now when I have a failure, which I did, this wasn't that long ago. I'm not going to lie. This was probably not even, it was about six, seven months ago.
Oh, okay.
For me. So it was, you know, it was like a holy crap. I've come all this way. I've worked so hard. I mean, what I do is, you know, it tends to, like I said, it can go very wrong very fast. And that's not really necessarily my fault. But,
The thing is, I mean, I guess going back to my original point is that, you know, you take risks with your art in a way that I rarely see people do.
Yeah.
You know? And because you've already put in the time, the work, the blood, sweat, and tears necessary so that you can do it straight.
Yeah.
And you kind of remove your safety net.
Yeah.
Which,
totally.
And you do it on purpose.
It's so fantastic.
I run flying blindly, just hoping that some way I'll save myself. I do. It's true though.
But it's not that blind.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's
a strange line though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But,
you gotta just do it
and not apologize for it. And that's what I love about you. You don't ever apologize.
I've apologized. I have written out emails and sent.
Well, not in
I've sent
not
written
in the,
car.
The
no,
performance
I don't,
setting.
Yeah.
You know, you just fucking go
I've seen
many sets where the performer is apologizing while they're performing.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of a no-no.
I think there's a difference between apologizing for your art and apologizing for hurt feelings later.
Yeah.
Sending that email, I'm really sorry that your grandmother found
my
song about clitoris.
Hey. You know, grandmas are the one that like that, because
I bet they do.
Nobody sang about the clitoris in my day, and I went for 40 years without anybody ever touching it.
Did you hear about the elderly woman who hired someone to find her clitoris for her? And she found it at 80.
Oh,
she helped her find it. It was the best story ever.
It
made my heart.
I almost just cried.
I know, right? Ladies, Find your clitoris.
I'm telling you, it's the place to be. It's the place where it's at.
It's real.
Well, that's a little public service announcement from us to you.
To us, and the point of God wants you to come was yes. because one of my friends, who was older girl woman, she was 30, and she was like, I just think that, you know, I have stuck everything in the world up my vajayjay, and I never come. I've tried it all. And I looked at her and I was like, well, you know that you don't come from sticking things into your vagina, generally. I mean, unless you're like a master pro or you have a certain thing or the G-spot, there's a thing. But generally speaking. And she's like, what are you talking about? And I said, you know about the clitoris. And she was like,
Oh my!
And she discovered her clitoris too, and this was, and then she wrote a song called show called God Wants You to Come, and it was all about. And she's a really spiritual girl, and she would always, like, when she was praying really, really hard, she would feel like she's like, I think that's what it must feel like to come, because she'd get so raptured,
sure, worked
spinning
everywhere,
but raptured in her. Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Enraptured. Sure. Yeah, and in her prayers and her, you know, hallelujahs, that she would feel like that was what must
well,
be
there's
like.
There's a sense of euphoria that comes from sort of like completely surrendering to an idea.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
That's valid,
and
I suppose.
And who's to say, I mean, oh, yeah. Hey, I don't know what she felt like when she was praying. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe she was rubbing her seat the right way. I don't know, you know.
She's,
or maybe it was
she's swinging the rosary. And the
but her,
oh,
yeah, her whole
well.
Point was that, you know, that we should, the clitoris is, it's got, it's the only organ that is only just for pleasure. It's
yeah.
the only thing that's in anybody's body that's just made for pleasure. And that's kind of amazing. It's
yeah,
magic.
Absolutely.
It's magic and it's God.
And it's science.
And
too.
It's science. Boom, 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 the trifecta.
Awesome.
And you know what? I'm glad we're talking about this because on top of your artistic endeavors, you're also a feminist, a very outspoken
yes.
Feminist.
Yes.
And as
sounds like such a naughty word these days.
I know.
It's so charged. It's like, do I
actually
really
do
incredible.
I
call myself a feminist?
I tend
what
to
is the thing?
I tend to identify with being a feminist.
Yes.
I kind of flip flop on the word only because it's so charged
yeah.
right now.
Agreed.
And it has connotations in too many camps that have too many definitions.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm just leaning more towards just kind of aligning myself with just being a feminist, a feminine ally, rather
yeah.
than calling myself a feminist.
I like that.
Feminine.
And
I think there's something to be said too for just living your life in the way that you want people to understand women. You know, like
yeah.
I live. And I am an artist in a way that I want women to be perceived as strong, as able to, as equal, as smart, you know, whatever, all the words that you want to use.
Sure, sure, sure.
But I think living the way that you want people to perceive a certain idea you have
mm-hmm.
of yourself, in this case, being a feminist. Is probably the most important thing of it. You know, I don't know whether calling yourself a feminist is going to help anybody at this point, because you're right. I mean, it's just charged out there.
Yeah.
And there's all the girls that, like, you know, don't realize what they're saying is feminist, but they don't want to be a feminist when they write it on their little postcard and, like,
yeah.
get their little picture taken with it. And they're like,
yeah.
I'm not a man hater. You know, hashtag
yeah.
feminism. I'm like, no,
and
that's
then there's
not
like the really deep comedy of, I'm not a feminist, I'm a spoon. No, if you saw that, there was an entire like article of just like,
yes. Well, there's also like
said,
a Tumblr
I'm
post.
I'm not a feminist. I'm a lamp.
There's also a Tumblr post
great.
Of like just cats.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Just like cats in random poses with signs. Like, I'm not a feminist. Feminist is not food in my bowl. Where's my food? You know,
lolcats and feminism.
Right. I mean, it's funny that what society does like to things now, like because you know. It gets so confusing. Like, I was, okay, I don't even know if I can describe this, but it's like, I was on a Facebook page, and it was a very right-wing page, and sounding very, like, beyond retarded right-wing. You know, beyond,
like, just plain stupid.
Like, to the point where I was like, oh, you know what, this must be people who are far left, posting to pretend they're far right, and this is how stupid they are. And now it's like so people are like making fake Facebook profiles so that they can pay, you know, so they can post on these right wing groups as like sounding like completely off their rocker, so that more people hate the right wing. It's what the lengths people will go to, and then it's just a mass of confusion. That's we need to just go back to, you know.
Well, I guess then I guess my next question is being as outspoken as you are and
aliens. Aliens will save us.
I mean ultimately, as an outspoken feminist, as someone who's an advocate, can I say an advocate?
Sure, absolutely.
Never been
an advocate for anything else.
I guess ultimately, what's the experience like of being of being a feminist in like the comedy scene, you know, or in the music scene, or I already know it's a fucking cesspool of vile terrifying human beings, but like I mean, and because I've heard all the horror stories from women, you know, just like you, who are outspoken feminists, so but are trying right to have a comedy career, they're trying to have a music career, like.
Right. I definitely feel that it's, you know, if I had to choose between comedy and music, there is, it's definitely worse in the comedy zone. However, then you turn, you know, you add on all these little things, like you're a comedy musician, and then everyone's already confused with that, and then you're a female comedy musician, and then you sing a lot about, you know, your clitoris. So, I've had a lot of bad experiences. I noticed most, I've had, my comedy club stuff is really in the past. I mean, you know, I did have some really bad experiences, and I pretty much swore off it. Swore off comedy clubs in general. Just because, I don't fit there. It's not really, I don't do stand-up comedy, and I can be, it's not the right fit for me.
Yeah.
However, I think what I noticed most is that every time I see a bill for comedy, especially, it's, you know, it's got the one female comedian mentioned there, and there's definitely one in there. There's never, you know, or a couple, unless it's an all-female. I'm actually doing, at the Tank on Saturday, I'm doing an all-female comedy show, which is great. But, you know, like, it just stands out to me. Like, every time I look at a bill, there is that one woman on it, or two, and it's, like, six guys, and then I'm like...
Is that tokenism, or is that just not enough women in the scene?
I think there's plenty of women in the scene. I have to say, you know, you have to, you know, I wish that people do, you know, select their comedians by merit and not, you know, their sexual organs. But I don't know. With the way that I've been treated before in comedy clubs, you know, okay, here's an example. This was, I don't even think they're there anymore. Maybe they are. Actually, yeah, they are. I won't say who it is then. But I was at a stand-up comedy gig. I was the only stand-up, I wasn't doing stand-up, I was doing music, but I was the only one that was, I actually wanted to stay and watch everybody.
Oh.
Because I really like to watch everybody. It's just my thing. I like, if I'm going to be in a show, and especially if I'm not going to get paid, I think the payment is like to sit there
to
and
watch
enjoy
the other
people.
The artists.
So I was sitting with some friends, I was having a drink, watching the performers, and... The guy that was hosting the show, who also happened to be the manager, came over to me and asked me to come and see him. It was like middle of the show, and I wasn't up yet, and I was like, oh, am I up? And he's like, no, I was just coming. So I go over, and he says, could you please stop adjusting your chest? You're distracting the comedians and the audience. I'm like sitting in the back, number one. Like, I'm not in the like front or anything. And I'm like, And he goes, and you're up, you're on deck. So just letting you know, just stop fidgeting with your chest, because you're distracting, you know, our audience and the comedians. And then you're on deck. And so I was just like, what? I wanted to leave. You know, obviously I wanted to just get my things and go, but I had friends there to see me. And like, I was just so devastated. And then of course I was just like, what am I going to do? How am I going to play this? Well, I got on stage, and, you know, as is sometimes, you know, they tend to do, the guy who was hosting the show left the room. So while it was on lockdown, Kelly told everybody what he had said to her. And I basically... basically just totally like used my entire set to talk about how it feels as a woman to be in comedy. And then I sang Ben King. Of course, Ben Kingsley comes up again, but because it just has to.
It's
and then,
so brilliant.
And that's when I came to the line when I would always use Meryl Streep as my, when no one respects a woman unless she's played by Meryl Streep. But that's the night I broke, had a breakthrough, and I was like, no one respects a woman. And that's where I would end it. And that turned into a great bit because I was inspired by this total asshole who was treating me, you know, differently. You know, how many times men grab their junk?
Oh, yeah, don't even.
It's junk-alicious out there.
I've grabbed my junk 6 times by accident.
You know, and
during this podcast.
During this podcast.
People, yeah. You know, things, I adjust it. Kind of make it, move it around. It's summertime.
It adjusts. It yeah. moves, it wiggles. It
you know, gravity. It was just a very odd experience. And then, you know, and then he didn't know that I'd done that. Nobody really told him. And none of the other comedians were in the room either. So it was just the audience that knew that I did that. And on my way out, he was like, oh, you're like, I get you. You're like Andy Kaufman. And I was like, dude, you don't even know me. You don't even know what just happened in there. But good luck with your life. And
oh, God.
And I just, that was my last... I can't say that was my last time in a comedy club because I occasionally I'm in a comedy club, and especially when you tour.
Yeah, I mean it's a venue.
It's it can be. It's a little different when it's a tour, and I do like catching people off guard. I like it when people are like, "Oh, who's this stand-up comedian coming to stage now?" And I'm like, bang, 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 you know, playing my weird music. It's nice to be the one that stands. It's nice to be the oddball. You know, it's nice that people listen. Sometimes when it's, you know, stand-up after stand-up, you get lost a little bit there in there, and, you know, people start to, you know, get... It just... It's a attention span thing, you know? It's, of course, an attention span. So I think that it's a nice thing to, like, change it up a little bit, and that's what comedy should be about. And and I'm certainly not... Hey, I love stand-up comedy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'm not going to say I have plenty of people I respect in the business, and, you know, I mean, I wish them the best. It's just that, you know.
Yeah. One day we're going to spend the entire podcast just telling the aristocrats. That's what I would love to do.
Is that going to be a future podcast episode?
That's amazing.
So, listeners, if you would like an entire episode of Nothing But Aristocrats jokes, write in at theepicpodcast@gmail.com. That's epicpodcast@gmail.com.
And we're walking into a talent agency.
Mad at us.
Daddy Schaefer's going to be mad, yeah. Now, look, I know you've got some projects coming up. You mentioned a tour. I want to talk about that. But the
thing that's the most interesting is
the thing I find fucking hilarious.
I'm just going to say the quintet. Please elaborate.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Well, I mean, I guess for those of you who have not heard Kaylee's music, it's loud, it's boisterous, it's in your face, it's edgy, it talks about controversial things in a very funny way.
You have a Casio
dark
involved.
Yeah, you sometimes too.
You know,
I just got that like not that long ago. It's like a great toy.
So it's like it's very
like 1986
subversive.
Revisited.
Yeah, it's very subversive. Beautiful. Very funny music, very very full of life, as I would put it.
Satirical, she's got this dark comedy.
Yeah, dark
angel
comedy.
Angel voice accompanied by demon technology. That is
boom.
And so I want you to imagine that, because Killy's next project is a 4-piece quintet
or more. I'm hoping
like an orchestra, basically setting her music to an orchestral score in a cabaret setting.
Yeah.
Why?
Why? I say why not? Huh?
Yeah.
Well, so do I.
Why did my panties drop all the way to China?
I am now moist.
Well, I guess first of all, I loved my band and I missed my band.
Yes.
Yeah.
Killed the band. Well, you know, the name like predestined itself.
Killed the band
is
the name of the band.
It was gonna be gone, you know. But we had a great run and it was really fun. And I got to be as crazy with them as I could. So I didn't have to play any instruments or do any buttons or, you know, all I had to do was crowd surf and stage dive and scream at the top of my lungs and wear tutus and run out of the room and get a drink and run back in while they were playing. It was mad. It was awesome. But I've always kind of loved, I do think what I do is sort of cabaret-esque, because I really think that there's an emphasis on the words, you know.
Well, it's also, it's very theatrical.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very theatrical.
It lends itself.
And plays very well on a stage set.
I just want to follow you with a spotlight.
Do it. Do it. I haven't built in spotlight. I have green fluorescent green hair.
Oh yeah, no, we're gonna take a podcast selfie after this.
Please, let's do that. I feel like a fish. Caliban was great.
Right. So what was the impetus of this? Like, what was the idea behind it?
Well, I've been seeing a lot of cabaret, and I do enjoy the cabaret. I do enjoy it. It is a nice. It's a nice. People sit down. They are very focused on the stage, and all of the shows I've done, a lot of one woman shows, and I've done two theatrical shows with Caliban where I wrote a very loose premise with them, and then we fit all our songs into it, and it was a really cool way to sort of a great vehicle for the music, because we could be theatrical and all tied together at the end, and it made sense, and we were, you know, sort of a Spinal Tap kind of thing, but. So that was great, and that was a perfect way for us to do it. And then graduated out of that. You know, we were doing big clubs, and, you know, doing not big clubs, but, you know, we did the Bell House and a few. Like, we opened for Gilbert Gottfried, speaking of the Aristocrats. Yeah, and that ended, and it's been hard to, like, it's, you know, because I'm by myself now, and there's a lot of things. Since I'm like a one-woman band, and I play like six instruments once, if under the right circumstances. Mm-hmm. I get lost a little bit in that, and I miss some of the being out in front and just only focusing on the words and the audience. So I want to do it in a sort of a different way, and I want it to be sort of, I just have this, like, dream of being in this beautiful theater where these wonderful musicians, all of them just brilliant musicians, like Ken Ball Zerwin on the big stand-up.
Sure.
Hopefully, this is my dream, dream cast, or my dream band, and my friend Blair. Actually, Blair was in Caliban, and he's the one. He's actually doing all the sheet music for me. So he's in the middle of the first album. Like, he's probably on the sixth song.
Yeah, I guess you have to transfer all of that,
all of
that raucous stuff into a more orchestral thing.
Yeah. So he's doing all of that for me.
Wow.
And then I'm gonna just, like, hire, which is because you can hire a band and they can do a couple shows, and then they don't have to feel like they have to be with you all the time, but I can take it to other cities.
Yeah.
As long as I have that sheet music,
pick up musicians everywhere you go.
So that was the other reason, because I couldn't tour with the band. They were, you know, I love the boys, but they were too expensive and annoying and dirty.
Sure.
They were boys, and they're incredible, and I still love them, and I still work with them off and on, back and forth here and there. But standing in a cabaret setting, I think, you know, with everyone really focused on what's happening rather in a bar where people are like, bleh, 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 you know, like and doing their thing, I think the focus is kind of what I'm looking for, and to kind of, you know, take some of those audience members that are a little older, that are a little more used to, you know,
Billy Joel on
Broadway
and
like changing it into... Kelly Dwyer's crazy. You know.
Oh, do you have like dates, venues, or is
this
just pre-planning stage?
This is a pre-planning until the sheet music is done.
Yeah.
So I'm saying 2015.
Okay.
And hopefully soon into 20, like, you know, I'd love to be February, March.
Sure, sure, sure.
You know, with that, but, you know, I'm touring up through then anyway.
Yeah, I guess when you start touring?
I leave. I do Chicago, Detroit, Toronto, and Pittsburgh. I leave on the 3rd of September. Very exciting. It's a whole comedy music tour. It's all comedy musicians. I think it's going to be really cool. Like,
yeah.
I'm going through Detroit, and my family lives in Toledo, so they're going to come to Detroit to see the show. It's really exciting.
What's the name of the tour?
We are looking for a name, because comedy music tour sounds really boring. Although, that could be like a tag.
Well, who else is on the bill?
Bad Teenage Mustache. I don't know if you've ever heard of them.
I've never heard of them.
They're out of Chicago. Jessica Delfino is halfway on, halfway off. We're not sure if she's coming or not.
Okay.
Then in each city, we're picking up.
Oh.
You know.
Wonderful.
Comedy musicians, because we want to, like, sort of make, we want to kind of, this is sort of a new thing. So we're sort of wanting to, like, make a tour, I don't know, a map.
Mm-hmm.
For comedy musicians who want to do this kind of thing, and then these are the venues they'll go to. This is the ones that work.
Mm-hmm.
This is the ones that accept our oddball kind of, you know, thing. They have a sound system that works.
Yeah, you know,
different things. So we're sort of like venturing into that territory, sort of inspired from the New York Funny Songs Festival, which we did in the last couple of years, you know, to sort of just sort of take it on the road.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and Danny Rocket is sort of spearheading that. I'm helping him, but he is the lead of Bad Teenage Mustache, which was my first. He was his band, but I was in the band, and we started together like forever ago. Yeah. So, bringing it back full circle.
Love it.
The circle of life. So that's gonna be cool, and then California, San Francisco, all through, you know, LA.
I'll get all the information from you.
Yes.
Put in the show notes, website, all that stuff. All of your albums are on iTunes, I would imagine, right?
Yes, everywhere you can buy music. This is another little thing I'd like to emphasize. I make so very little money off of.
Yeah, don't torrent her music.
Just don't even buy it off iTunes, because I'm telling you, or don't even Spotify it, please. I'll tell you what, come to my website, tell me what price you want, and you can have all of it for, you know, $10. And you can download it right off my website, and literally it's a donation of $10. You can have all my music for life.
Oh, wow.
You can download it right onto your, I don't know why I have to look at like this, like it's right here. But I'm looking at you. I know you can't see me, but I'm looking at you, the audience, right now. And I'm begging you, I plead with you, because sadly the music business is, we're not making a whole lot of money, and this is, I'm trying to sort of like circle around to the back door, if you know what I'm saying, and I think you do, make some money off my music rather than like 15 cents per album,
right.
Or whatever. I was just blown away to learn, you know, to literally learn how I'm taking that back, not literally. I wanted to blow my brains out, actually, when I learned how little money I was making, and from sites like iTunes and
Amazon and all that.
But my website is still as cheap. You can buy, you know, a song. You can buy five. You can pick which ones you want. You can buy whole albums. And my merch is close to being done too, which is really awesome. It's paper dolls.
What?
Oh my God! I have tutus, and my dog is in it. It's amazing, and she's my mascot, and she's more famous than I am. Monkey the dog. Look her up on Facebook if you don't know who she is. but we have paper dolls coming, and Jake Thomas does all my design stuff, and he's just a graphic designer, and he's just incredible artist himself. So that's getting quickly.
All right. Well, then you listeners, go to her site, buy her music.
Yeah, baby.
And she deserves all your money dollars. Give her your money dollars.
KillyTheKid.com.
That's right.
KillyTheKid.com. Check the show notes for all the links and stuff. Killy!
I will find you.
Thank you so much.
And I will kill you!
Oh, you had them and then you lost them.
I love them, though.
No, she has them even more.
Yeah.
I mean, even threatening death is sexy.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. This was really fun.
Thanks for talking out to us.
I love talking shop. I love talking.
Getting into the nitty-gritties.
Yeah.
Getting fisted.
That's when we're off the air.
Oh, yeah.
Save it.
But it's talking about, you know, the truth of truth at all. And
well, I think it's important.
It's got its own comedy.
Well, I think people don't talk about that side very often. Mm. And it's important to hear, you know, because I know
not everything is. People think it's so glamorous what we do.
No,
it's the farthest thing
from it.
But we have
a lot of people who listen to us who are. Burgeoning rappers, who are burgeoning sort of nerdcore hip hop artists.
I like
and
nerds.
There might be a burlesque you know, artist or two out there.
And there's a like burlesque artist or two. Yeah.
And there's at least 12 listeners.
At least 12
hey,
listeners.
Hey, I would say there's 13 to maybe 14. So don't tell yourself.
Aww. But thank you.
Like two more maybe.
Thank you so much. This was wonderful.
I love the circle jerk at the end too.
Yeah.
Off the air. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Killy Dwyer. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Killy.
Love you guys. Bye.
Once again, a huge thank you to Killy Mockstar Dwyer for being a guest on our show today. Oh my
God! She killied it.
She killied it. I want to have her back again.
Yes, we need to get her back with La Dark Lord.
Yes, because I think we just barely scratched the surface.
It's true. So many
different topics.
I just like wanted to take it all in.
Yeah,
I was just like, teach me your ways.
You are the masters. I am but the Padawan. I've yet to really, like, really fall on my face.
Oh,
like,
it'll happen.
I know it'll happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm terrified about it.
I mean,
and that's all for Charles Stenning, folks. I'm out. I'm a looky-loo. I'm going to quit as soon as I get
started. No, you're not. No, you're I'm a trooper. Not. You're a trooper.
I'm going to do things.
Let's wrap this podcast up, but we are going to talk about some appearances, some dates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lugo, when are you appearing in things?
Well, let's talk about August, because on August 13th, Wednesday, August 13th, I am going to be telling a story for the Story Collider.
Ooh.
I don't have the exact venue right now, but all you have to do is go to nelsonlugo.com, or if you follow me on Facebook, go to just search me on Nelson Lugo, check my calendar on both my personal page and my fan page. But if you are a fan of NPR or The Moth, then you need to know what Story Collider is. This is a very important storytelling show. It's they talk about science in real world practical applications and how it applies to human life in every facet.
Who wants to be my date to that? Because I'm gonna go.
Well, I would ask you, but I'm gonna be in it, so you know.
That's why I was asking the internet.
Right. So if you want to be Chuck Stenning's date to Story Collider, write us at theepicpodcast@gmail.com. The next date I have is I'm going to be in Washington D.C. on August 22nd at the Black Cat. I am going to be performing my solo show, Gathering the Magic. But more than that, I am going to have an opening act. That's right, the fantastic, the musically enchanting, the hilariously funny duo called Afterbirth Monkey is going to be opening for me in Washington, D.C.
Wait.
Yeah.
That's my band.
Oh my God, no, that's your band.
Holy shit. Yeah, I'm going to be in D.C. too.
So
who wants to be my date in D.C.?
I'm still going to be in a show, so it can't be me.
I'm going to be in a show. You can't be my date.
It's at the Black Cat. I believe the show is at 9:30. Doors are at 9. Again, check the website. Check the Facebook for all the details. For people in New York City, I am a couple podcasts ago, we spoke about an interactive theater piece called The Speakeasy Dollhouse,
mm-hmm.
Which was set in the 1930s, late 20s, late mid-30s, mm-hmm. In a speakeasy, and there's murder and mystery and tension and...
Mayhem,
and it's interactive theater, and which poker. Means... And poker, yeah. It's interactive theater, which means you are a part of the story. I had so much fun at that show. I am now a cast member in that show. So you can watch me play the role of Lulu Rosencrantz in the Speaky Dolls House on August 23rd. Again, website and Facebook for more details.
Awesome.
What do you got, Chuck?
Ooh, okay, hold on.
Your analog page calendar.
You know what? My planner turns into a diary.
Sure.
When pages turn.
Oh, I see.
So there's that.
Dear diary.
August 4th. It's my birthday.
Happy birthday to Chuck.
I'm going to be 1 year closer
Happy
to my death.
Happy birthday, dear.
Don't sing it yet. It's not my birthday yet. On August 10th, Afterbirth Monkey will be performing at Kitty Knight's at M. White Bar. $5. At 9 p.m., it's the best burlesque show, according to me.
It's also the best burlesque show, according to me.
Yeah, it's my favorite. Yeah. I love it. On August 11th, I will be part of the Women of Isis burlesque, produced by Excelsior Burlesque, and that's going to be at the Parkside Lounge.
Is that what I think it is?
It is.
Is that an Archer-inspired burlesque show?
A love letter to Archer.
Aww.
The Women of Isis. Try and guess who I'm going to be.
I don't know.
Just think
Do you
about
like
it.
Tight neck sweaters?
Yes. And I like being the ruler of other planets. There you go. Those are your little nuggets.
Those are your clues, internets.
Yeah. On August 16th, I am throwing the Honey Badger Burlesque Charles Stenning Birthday Bonanza Part 2.
Ooh.
Title pending. I may change it. I don't know yet.
Wait, is that the one that I'm in?
No.
Oh.
It's not the one you're in.
Just wait.
All right. I forgot.
That's going to be at Rapture Lounge at 9 p.m. Then on August 22nd, I'm going to be in D.C.
Really? Doing what?
I'm going to be opening for Nelson Lugo's Gathering the Magic as my band Afterbirth.
Hold on. That's me.
That is you.
Small world.
Let's shake hands.
That's the sound of us shaking hands.
You can't hear it. It's fine. Then on the 23rd in the evening, we will be throwing... Wait, no. That's a thing I'm doing. That's a personal thing. Never mind. I'm going to cut that out. It was great, though. That thing that I'm doing...
Nobody on the internet is invited.
That you don't get to know about.
Yes, nobody on the internet is invited.
It's
going to
be great. On Friday, August 29th, it's Honey Badger Burlesque's Bloody Bloody Birthday. It's going to be an all-bloody, all-birthday burlesque review in Brooklyn. Because I love bees. On August 30th, which is the next day, it's a Saturday, I will be kittening Looney Boobs at Coney Island. It's Lefty Lucy Presents Looney Boobs.
That's
so it's
funny.
Going to obviously be a tribute to
Looney Tunes cartoons.
And things. So come watch me pick up clothes. My ass is really cute.
It's true. That story checks out.
And that's all I have for August.
Schaefer, what do you do?
Let's have a moment of silence for our homie.
No. Moving right along, I think that's it.
Thank you, Internet.
We did another podcast without Schaefer.
We did.
He hasn't been on the podcast more times than I haven't been on the podcast.
Yeah, well, he travels.
What are you saying?
You're a recluse?
Fair enough.
There you go.
This has been the Epic Podcast, episode 23. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I have been your other host, Charles Studding.
Be safe, Internet.
Did you know that Pepsi Cola was originally called Brad's Drink?
Bye!
Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast.
We'd love to hear from you, our loyal listener. So send us your feedback, love mail, hate mail, dick pics, and recipes to epicpodcast@gmail.com. But seriously, don't send us dick pics.
As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any sized contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. More episodes of the Epic Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.
I'm almost tempted to do something stupid with Schaefer not here.
I'm never gonna dance again. Guilty feelings got no rhythm. Thought it's easy to pretend you know I'm not a fool. Should have known better than to cheat a friend. Time with
I don't know the words.
I'm never gonna dance again the way I dance with you.
Saxophone solo.
I like boobs.